Welcome back to the Grandstand, episode 37. Pushan here in Paris, and we got Knowles in the East Coast of the United States. How you doing, sir?
Sir. Don't ever call me sir again. It's so weird.
I don't know why I'm good. Got so formal. I don't know. I'm excited, man. This is an exciting week.
It is. The Vegas GP is starting to get, there's a lot of buzz, man. A lot of buzz.
I didn't think I would be this excited. I thought, another cringe race. But now that we're in it and we got our boy Costa there, who's going to be a kind of drunken reporter for us, I'm pretty stoked.
Full Dr. Steve Brule moment for those who know who Dr. Steve Brule is. He's just going to be going around, sweet bear wine, sweet bear wine.
Yeah, as I told you pre-show, I wouldn't be surprised if he parted with some drivers at the end of it. And we got some interesting videos.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of partying with drivers, are we going to see Kimi emerge from the depths? I feel like Vegas is definitely the spot where we'd see Kimi again.
I fucking hope so. I hope his wife is giving him a pass for the weekend and he can be the one that shows up on the podium, because you know the podium's going to be ridiculous. And if you could just see Kimi there, I think the crowd will go nuts.
I bet this weekend is going to be probably the most. We thought Miami was bad as far as celebrities and stars were concerned. I feel like Vegas is going to be it's going to be Miami on every amphetamine possible.
Yeah, I mean, Vegas kind of does that for all the events they do, I feel, all the sporting events. So everyone who needs to be seen and needs to do PR is going to be an F1 fan this weekend. And Martin Brundle is going to have a great time. Day. Great
Martin's just that meme of Birdman, the rapper, just clapping, you know, getting his hands, you know, warmed up, ready to go.
Oh man, I can't wait for Crofty and his Vegas bingo. I'm sure Rain Man's gonna be on there, Ocean's 11, all that crap. But yeah, it's exciting. And it's exciting. Also today, really exciting news that came out, which is definitely not a coincidence, is Cadillac formally registered to join as an engine supplier in Formula One for 2028.
GM, actually. It was GM, but through the Cadillac brand, but GM themselves would hold the rights. So
that's right.
If they decided to change, you know, brands for some reason, they would own the rights to it, not necessarily the brand, but
huge news for them. It's the group, as you said. Yep. And obviously people are saying, is this good for Andretti? It seems like it could be, but it also seems like it could be snatched up by some other teams. What do we think here?
I think it's good for Andretti, because another thing that came out in the announcement this morning was that GM entering into F1 is contingent upon Andretti getting approval from the FOM. And they basically said if they don't get approval, Cadillac and GM will not be involved in Formula One, which I think is really good leverage, because even James, you know, there have been some team principals, James Vowles included in this, who also said, hey, look, like, to have a car manufacturer the size of GM, you know, you've already got Mercedes, you've already got Renault, two of the world's largest car manufacturers in F1, to bring GM, I mean, Honda as well, in some capacity. So to bring GM into the fold, I think is a huge value for Formula One. And if they're basically saying, this is our partner, and if you don't get behind our partner, we're not going to join. It kind of puts the ball in the team's court to say, hey, look, you guys, you've got a chance here to do this. If you don't, then we're out. And I think these concerns about the prize money, I'll make this quick, but the concerns about the prize money, I think, go out the door, because you necessarily are going to increase interest in the sport, which drives revenue. I think you just got to sort out what that looks like. I think that's really what it comes down to. And I think the Andretti's and GM understand that.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that GM sticks to that, because we've seen some backstabbing in F1. It's a political game. So big political game. But yeah, it would be exciting. American team, American engine manufacturer, and announcing it at Vegas. I mean, pretty good timing here.
Good timing. Yeah. I mean, they're playing the PR game pretty well.
Pretty well. All right. Speaking of which, we've got a lot to get into. You know what time it is. Let's roll that intro.
Roll it.
A question for all of you except Romain Grosjean.
To whom it may concern, fuck you.
More ladies in the paddock? Yeah, more paddock access. Access to some women. There's too many dudes.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that, except that he was being a pussy.
It is time, Vegas, and we had a lot of the drivers doing a bit of US PR this week. Danny Rick on Jimmy Kimmel. Did you catch that?
I caught some clips. There have been times when F1 drivers go on some of these late night shows here in the States, and you know, late night talk shows, and it's just they're like some of the most awkward interviews, because while they're famous worldwide, F1 is still a bit of an obscure sport here in the States. And so when you get these guys on, it feels a bit niche, and the audience is kind of like, who's this guy again? I mean, Danny Rick, though, has started to transcend that a little bit. And you were saying in the pre-app, he's becoming a bit of a caricature of himself. Like, he looks like his face has been painted on the boardwalk in Santa Monica, and he's framed it.
Yeah, it's like someone had to tell him, hey, this is not a photo, a portrait. You know, we actually need to speak. Don't just smile out there. But I'll tell you what, he definitely got his Colgate sponsorship deal, if that's what he was going for. Oh. And it was funny. You didn't miss much on the interview. It was kind of just rehashing how F1's gotten big in the States recently. But they did end with that test where the one that Gasly does before each pre-race, where they drop the tennis balls, trainer does, and he has to catch them. And Danny Rick flipped it on Jimmy Kimmel and made him do it. So we didn't see Danny Rick's reflexes, but we did see Jimmy Kimmel's, which were not as impressive as Pierre Gasly, put it that way.
Kimmy once went on, I think, David Letterman. That was, if you ever get a chance to watch. Yeah, he went on one of the shows, and it's just like, exactly how you imagine it going.
I'm Did like, he say anything?
But, yeah, right. Exactly. Just this quiet interview.
So we also saw the Frenchies. Well, actually, one of them is French. Ocon and Leclerc with LeBron at a Lakers game. That was pretty cool. Obviously, nice. You know, stars being friends with stars. It's always great.
But they're just like us, hanging out with LeBron teams.
Just watching the Lakers courtside. But I got to give a shout out to our boy Valtteri, because he did the photo op with the Mike Tyson face tattoo. I mean, it had to be him. So well done. I think he takes that from me.
Valtteri's having a fun season, man.
He is.
Even if he's not getting the results on track, he seems like he's still enjoying himself, which, you know what? More power to you, my friend.
I hope he has a little fun on track this week. Speaking of which, man, Vegas, it feels like it was only announced yesterday, March 2022, when F1 announced that we're going to go to Vegas, that they claimed we're going to race on the Strip, which is, I mean, crazy. Correct me if I'm wrong, it's not the easiest thing to do.
I mean, listen, I'm not a race car driver, so, but I can't imagine it's going to be that easy either, especially given the weather conditions this weekend. I mean, holy shit.
Which we'll get into. So F1 did something different here. Obviously, Drive to Survive went nuts, and this is the third race in the U.S., and more of my friends back home in the States and family members are asking me questions now, so great to see that. But for the first time, Formula One is promoting the race on its own, and they invested all the money into this. So if this works out and they make money, this could be a new model moving forward. So there would no longer be a race promoter, but F1 just making even more money. off these big events.
It's a bit worrisome because you also were mentioning before we hit record today, if this does turn out to be successful, what does it say to F1 to say like, oh, we can just do this on ourselves. We're going to make more money promoting the race anyway. And that way we can just put on as many races as possible without without too much, without having to pay a promoter.
I kind of said like, oh, maybe 40 races a year, which, you know, obviously I wouldn't put it past them to squeeze in the calendar even more, make that tighter. But I don't think this will become like the norm. I think that it would just be a new way of doing things. F1 actually bought land near the strip and they're going to have like a permanent fixture there. It's going to be like an F1 building where there'll be experiences and a museum.
Are they putting one of those like F1 zones in where they're putting like simulators? That would make sense.
Yeah, I mean, they're putting something that's going to be permanent. So if you go to Vegas in 6 months, you can go and check out the F1 installations.
That's great. That's great.
There are also rumors that if this model works out, that maybe India could be back on the map. And, you know, I would not be pretty happy about that. It's a good track.
India. Wow. Yeah. We're back in India. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Represent your people.
That's right. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, my family's from India.
They're like, what? I mean, the name kind of gives it away, right? A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, but you never know. Well, okay. So there was a lot of talk about this race. And obviously, have you ever been to an event in Vegas, a sporting event?
Not a sporting event. No, I've only been to trade shows in Vegas and I want to get out of there immediately after.
So it's one of those that, I mean, are trade shows extremely expensive as well? I feel like everything that happens in Vegas is just nuts or.
Yeah. I mean, there's like, you know, depending on what you're doing, everything's always expensive in Vegas. Like, it's not going to be a cheap weekend no matter what you do. So I've never been there and been like, oh, I didn't spend any money.
Yeah. unless you hit the jackpot.
Unless you do a little gambling and you leave, but the house generally always wins. I did leave Vegas up on a game of Texas Hold'em though. So I won a few hundred bucks, which is great.
Well done. Well done.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
As expected, ticket prices were extremely high when they announced this race, and apparently now they're going down drastically. So if you want to get on a flight, pick up some tickets for relatively cheap.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I think I'm going to see how this first one goes. I'm not going to be a guinea pig. Though, like we said, we've got our boy Ian Costa who's going and I mean, he's doing it right. I mean, paddock passes, he's going to be with race organizers. It sounds like it's going to be pretty epic weekend for him walking around like...
Wouldn't be surprised if he ends up on a podium.
Yeah, he himself, he's a security risk.
You know, him and I have made it to the Sky coverage in pre-season testing, so he has it in him for sure. But yeah, ticket prices, man, they went from the cheapest ones were $500 US for a day pass when this all started, all the way up to 3,000. And I'm talking grandstand, not paddock passes. Those go up to, I think, tens of thousands of dollars. And now apparently they're saying that they're slashing prices. Maybe it's like the American way of having a big sale before things happen. But some people, some skeptics are already saying that maybe it's not as big of a success as F1 thought. So maybe a bit naive from F1. Some say a little bit arrogant. I don't know where I stand.
You're in Vegas, so naturally it would seem like tickets prices would be a bit higher, but I also don't really understand why, like, if you've already got Vegas as a destination for so many people in the world, make it a little bit more accessible for those who are there on the weekend to say, oh, there's a Formula One race in Vegas this weekend. Let's get tickets. Maybe that's what they've decided. I'm not sure. But yeah, that was kind of my biggest gripe with it, was that ticket prices were almost inaccessible for just a regular fan or even a casual fan, right?
Obviously, you ran into this when you went to Monza last year, 2022, that it is cheaper for Americans to fly out to Europe to watch a race than it is to go to some of these American races.
Oh, yeah. Like, absolutely, 100%.
But hey, it's the first race in Vegas. They say it's on for 10 years, but the fine print does say that after 3 years, F1 can pull out if it doesn't work out. So this will make $1.3 billion as an event. I don't know where that money goes. Obviously, that's the global some.
Right. Interesting.
But there was some controversy about locals, because apparently there was some money that was allocated from public funding. F1 was boarding up some businesses and blocking their views because they didn't want anyone to have a free view of it. And yeah, so a lot of residents not too happy, but overall, I feel like that's usually the case with a massive event in your hometown.
Yeah, but also like downtown, like that part of Vegas is not, you know, it's like going to Times Square as a New Yorker, right? Like you're not, yeah, it kind of is though. Like you're not, locals aren't really going to the strip unless you have to work on the strip, right?
That's right.
Vegas is also a pretty big town. There's over 1 million people who live in it. So,
oh, damn.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's, I think let's see how this goes. I like, you know, I was not the biggest fan of the charade that is the Miami Grand Prix.
<It's> you just, and me both.
Yeah. Just like, it just feels so fake, everything that they try to do. And the race organizers put on some corny ass events and like promo things. Whereas Vegas, it's like, Vegas is kind of just, Vegas is Vegas. Like we know what it is. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's going to put on a show, but that's what Vegas is. Vegas is a show.
That's
and,
right.
And I think they can get away with that kind of shit, a bit better. Coda, to me, the US Grand Prix is for your, you know, racing purist. I think Vegas is definitely going to be there for somebody who's both the casual fan or, you know, a big fan of F1, but also wants a little bit of entertainment on the side.
Mm-hmm. It's not the first time, as you said, that F1 comes to Vegas. F1 went to Vegas in 1981 and 82, but as you pointed out, they didn't do it the Vegas way. They did it in a kind of parking lot next to the strip, which didn't really attract much of the Vegas visitors. But now we're going to go right through the city, through the strip. But actually, yeah, let's talk about the track, man. It's a 6.2 kilometer track. Anti-clockwise,
with really big.
It's pretty big, yeah. 17 huge turns, two DRS zones, and some big, big straights on there.
That last straight is nuts. Like, it's so long. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's, wow, these guys are sitting in eighth gear.
Yeah,
these guys are sitting in eighth gear for a long time. I watched, I think it was DR3 did a hot lap. Yeah, DR3 did a hot lap on F1 2023. And I was just like, when does this straight end? Because his engine was just at like fully torqued. It's in eighth gear for like a good 10 seconds. I'm like, this is unreal.
Man, just like over revving.
Exactly. It's like he needs ninth gear. Give him a ninth gear.
Back in the day, we had the Hockenheim had like these two big straights and they had to add chicanes because otherwise the cars were just going to be going at 380 the whole way. So,
jeez.
But yeah, man, it looks like it's going to be a low downforce track and it's going to be a night race as well. And I think you hadn't seen the timings of this race before we started recording. And there's a little bit of surprise here with the schedule here because everything is happening later than usual.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, it's easier to watch this race in Europe than it is in the States. It's crazy. Like it's the qualifying is at 3 a.m. Eastern time. Like what? How are you going to have a race in the States and have it qualifying at 3 a.m., which is midnight local, by the way.
Midnight local. So the county wants Vegas to be somewhat normal during the day with traffic. So they said the only way to do this is to have in the evening. But yeah, qualifying will happen at midnight. The race will be at 10 p.m. local, which means the race could start on one day and end on another, which for fun facts, you know, I like those. So that could be that could be a thing.
I mean, we'll see if we get some red flags. Who knows?
Yeah. And man, seeing how fast the track is and how little runoff area, it's pretty much as walls. We could see some red flags and we could get a Gromo here. This could be a candidate.
I mean, nobody's racist track. It's going to be the weather this weekend in Vegas at night is going to be super cold, which makes me kind of wonder, like, why are they doing it at night too? Because, you know, have it in the early evening where there's at least some temperature on the streets still from daytime. You know, we're in the desert. But I mean, there was a promo this week of, I think one of the Mercedes reserve drivers driving in Vegas, and it was in the 50s, 50 degrees Fahrenheit. And basically, like, it was like the cars were on ice skates or like walking on ice. It was that bad.
Not only is it going to be cold, there might be rain on Thursday and Friday. So not the best to learn anything about a track.
Rain in Vegas. Cold, rainy Vegas. It sounds, what's going on in the world?
Yeah, I think only F1 could bring that, this kind exactly. of chaos.
Honestly, it's kind of a benefit for us as fans. It keeps it interesting.
Could you imagine it just rains? It rains out for the first two free practice and we go straight into qualifying? And we don't know what the hell's going on. It's midnight. It's cold. Man, we could see some surprises here. Pirelli already said they're going for the three softest compounds and they're going to recommend higher pressure in the tires. So let's hope those tires are strong enough because we've seen Pirelli's kind of miss their mark at certain street tracks. Baku, for
example. Street tracks with long straights where tires were exploding.
Does it remind you of something?
Just a little bit. Yeah, Max is probably a little shook.
Yeah.
I think they fixed that problem, though, because we haven't seen anything like that since then.
Hey, I think this is going to be one of the extreme conditions we've seen recently. So let's see how Pirelli has done its homework. But going into the weekend, what are we looking for here? We've got obviously a new track, cold, it's Vegas, all the stars and whatnot. But there are certain things to look forward to in the championship, even though Max has won and Red Bull has won.
I'm of the opinion that it's of the teams that have been showing some more pace. I think it's a little bit up in the air. I don't think this is a guarantee for Red Bull, honestly.
Yeah, because you remember Singapore street track where they didn't nail their setup. Well. And all of a sudden Max is out of the top 10 and we get the only non-Red Bull win this year. So could this be that or will Red Bull's dominance just be even more accentuated here?
I think we see another team win this weekend that's not Red Bull.
Ooh,
or exciting. We see someone that's not Max, aka Checo. We'll see. I don't think it's a shoe-in for Max. Let's put it that way. He's been obviously just incredible this year, but street courses do tend to give him more trouble than road courses.
Yeah, and also it somehow looks like he's not very lucky on street courses either. Like shit usually happens to him, but yeah, could be a good weekend for Perez. Wondering if Perez can wrap up P2 this weekend. If he outscores Hamilton by a certain amount, that could be possible. Also, I was looking at the standings, man. Norris is on a charge here. Can Norris catch Hamilton by the end of the year? That could be huge.
I think Lewis needs to watch out. I definitely do. Yeah. I mean, obviously with the inconsistencies that we've seen from Mercedes these last few races, and Lando's in phenomenal form right now. I mean, he did a little promo this past week at Sonoma Raceway up in up in Northern California, and with some the McLaren IndyCar team, and he did not the photos, he looks so bummed to be there. He's like, why am I doing this? Meanwhile, like, you know, Pato O'Ward and David Malukas, who's the new signing at Aero McLaren SP, is like, you know, full wide open smiles, you know, looking like they're meeting an idol, which, you know, obviously
there's an F1 driver here.
Yeah, woo, yay. Lando's like, oh man. Zach Brown's in his fire suit and kind of looking like Santa Claus, but sorry, oh, Zach. Man. I love you, buddy.
I can't wait for this Zach Brown content this weekend.
It's gonna be good. A lot of high fives, a lot of hurt hands.
Yeah, well, let's hope. Yeah, McLaren's been really good recently. And the battle for P2 in the constructors is we should look out for that. That could get really interesting between Ferrari and Mercedes, 20 points between them. And for P4, between Aston Martin and McLaren, because Aston Martin all of a sudden has got a little pace in hand. Let's see if they continue this in Vegas. But I think what everyone's looking forward to in the last two races is the conclusion of the Stan Championship, where
Grand Stan Championship.
Go head to head with our predictions, and there can only be one. You either win or you're last, literally here. Because it's
yeah, true. Literally. To quote my man Ricky Bobby, if you're not first, you're last.
Yeah, it's kind of how it is here. And ooh, unfortunately, it is my turn to go first, and it's a tough one. New track.
It's always this is probably my least favorite thing to do is predict new tracks on the Grandstand Championship.
It's really tough, and the whole weather thing. You never know what's going to happen.
Fuck up some people. Mark my words, the cold this weekend is going to make that place an ice rink.
I have a little gut feeling that Ferrari's going to do well this weekend.
I feel they could do at least get a podium.
Yeah, so I'm putting Leclerc on pole. He had pole in Baku. Pole. We also had pole in Singapore. Street tracks, we do well. Monza, we did really well. But I do think Max will win. I think Leclerc finishes second behind Checo, who has a strong weekend podium. And I'm going to put Norris in P4, Lewis in P5, although I don't expect much from Merck, but I think a P5 could be within their range. And I think the Gromo here, and it hurts. I'm going to go for local Logan Sargeant.
Ooh.
Those walls are close.
Ooh. Yeah. Those walls are close, and that pavement's going to be cold, baby. poor guy. This might be the hardest prediction of 2023. I'm not going to lie.
Honestly, this could be where the championship is won here.
Yeah, won or lost. I think I'm going to cover you on Charles on pole. I'm going to go with a crazy prediction here.
Oh,
I'm going to say Lando gets his first win in Formula 1. Yep. And I'm going Max P2, Checo P3. I'm going to go with Oscar P4. It's going to be a good weekend and I'm going to go Lewis P5.
Damn, so you get Leclerc on pole, but he's not in the top five.
I think Ferrari bottles some sort of strategy during the race. Like, it's too cold? What's cold?
I hope you're wrong.
I don't.
Who's your Gromo this weekend?
Gromo, I'm gonna also go Logan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, there's a little bit of strategy here.
Yeah, there's a little bit of strategy. Last few races, just making sure you don't pick up points that I don't.
But there is a bit of risk in there as well from both of us. So this could be very interesting and make the race a little bit more fun for us here.
Yeah, man. The one thing I'm also looking forward to is Kimi Räikkönen showing up and just getting absolutely blitzed at this race. I want some Kimi content. I want FIA, end of season awards, blackout Kimi.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Kimi Räikkönen is one of the best drivers of the last 20 years. He's from Finland. He likes vodka, let's just say. He likes to drink, and he's not shy about being drunk in public. He's done it a few times. And
loves vodka.
yeah, sorry. He doesn't like it. He fucking loves it. I'm imagining kind of like a path with smoke, with a mystery guest with the trophy, and Kimi stumbling through.
his hair is all wild. You can already tell. His eyes are going different ways.
He's clapping, but his hands are missing. You know,
he's leaning back. He basically looks like he's doing the Dougie.
But yeah, and you know what? If that happens, it will still not be the most cringe thing that we see on F1 coverage.
Oh, no. We're going to see a lot of cringe shit this weekend. Martin's grid walk is also something I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, yeah. It's gonna really stand out. Anything else you want to get off your chest before we go to Vegas here?
No, man. I want to see... I didn't really put a lot of faith in my boys at Mercedes. But I would like to see them have a strong finish to the season. Lock up that P2 and the constructors.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I'm looking forward to seeing how this race goes. I've been over the course of the last few months, this has been one of the races I've truly been looking forward to. So it's exciting. I think it's so much promo and so much show, and like you just have to embrace it. Stop fighting it. I'm sure there's F1 purists out there saying like, oh, this is just a commercialization of F1. I'm like, F1's been commercial for years. Like, yeah. you can't run a team without selling out. Like, come on.
F1 is definitely all about the money. What I will say is that I am a bit worried about F1 and with this Vegas deal. I'll tell you who might be feeling the heat a little bit is Monaco. because this is another kind of luxurious, glamorous street track race. So I don't know how Monaco's feeling about this.
We've discussed this on previous episodes of the Grandstand, but I think Monaco's place is secure. I don't think they need to worry about it. At least in the near future.
We'll just have to renegotiate that contract and add a few more mil and we'll be good.
Yeah.
Well, it's finally happening.
It's finally happening. It just feels kind of weird. Just to think. It's going to be wild to see those cars in Vegas.
Yeah. Nighttime and going super, super fast. Looking forward to hear like all the miscellaneous kind of craziness that happened over the weekend. Because, you know, this weekend's going to be big parties happening all over town. So that wraps it up for our Vegas preview. Make sure to follow us on social media at the Grandstand F1 on Instagram or Twitter. And drop us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. From us at the Grandstand, we'll see you on the next one.